$17.5 million salary for 2018 isn't guaranteed until March. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
What happened? You used to go hours without visiting the bathroom. Now it seems like you're constantly getting up to pee, and you're even getting up at night to go. This is not okay. Listen, the makers of Super Beta Prostate, the number one prostate formula, are introducing a new wonder pill, Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced, with three key ingredients that are great for your prostate. It's like taking three prostate supplements in one. To celebrate, we're sending free bottles to men who want to cut down on bathroom trips. Yes, your first 30-day supply is free. Pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-255-3377. Early research suggests that an ingredient in P3 Advanced may help support a normal prostate size. Combine that with a reduction in urges to pee, and you have a formula you'd be crazy not to try. Get P3 Advanced free. Call 1-800-255-3377. 1-800-255-3377. 1-800-255-3377.
Welcome back. Welcome to hour number two of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show here on KGYM, along with Alex Kuhn, our producer, Kyle Mann. We'll do our best to entertain you and inform you leading up to 7 o'clock tonight before we turn things over to various programs. All three KGYM frequencies with you at the moment, 1600 AM, our historic main gym, heard all across eastern Iowa, 106.3 FM, that's the South Gym frequency. You can catch us in Iowa City. Maybe you're heading to Carver Hawkeye Arena for the Iowa-Ohio State game tonight. 107.5 FM, our North Gym here in Cedar Rapids. Rough Riders tickets still to come. Woodja on the way in hour number three. We'll get a Chicago Bears update for all you NFL fans out there from Chris Emma from 670 The Score in Chicago at the bottom of this hour. But speaking of Carver Hawkeye Arena and Iowa City, pleased to be joined by our good friend Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register. He's going to be there tonight as Iowa takes on Ohio State. Short turnaround time, Chad, between the Michigan loss earlier this week. You think that's good or bad for the Hawkeyes?
Well, Cordell Pemsel was asked that. He says it's good. I guess I'll take him at his word there. I think they need to get rid of the taste of their mouth from the other night, because that was a really bad performance, especially after the 0-2 Big Ten start. You kind of thought Iowa needed to come out strong, and they had that five-game winning streak going, and then just really laid an egg in pretty much all areas, especially defensively. So they got to win tonight. This is a big game.
Chad, we're hearing from a lot of fans who are ready to give up on this season, and I know expectations coming in to the year were that they would get back to the NCAA tournament. Some had higher expectations, some had a little bit lower expectations, but they made it to the NIT last year, and people thought they were going to take a step forward. My question for you is, if you're thinking NIT and above, is it at this point safe to kind of set your sights towards next year?
I would say, you know, don't give up, but also I think if this team at this point could get to the NIT, that would almost be a surprise the way they're playing. They really need to turn things around. This is actually the easy part of their Big Ten schedule, easier. When I looked at the schedule before the season, I thought they could start 4-0 with the three home games, you know, against Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio State, and the one road game against Indiana, which is one of the worst teams in the league this year. But here they stand 0-3 going into a game tonight that's a virtual pick 'em, a toss-up game. So that's what I mean. They got to win this, but if they lose tonight, it really could turn ugly quickly. You know, become a under 500 overall type of year, and that's certainly way, way below what I thought this team would be.
Chad Lystico with us from the Des Moines Register is Iowa getting ready to host Ohio State tonight, 6 o'clock tip-off at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Chris Holtmann, this is the first time that we'll see the former Butler coach bring his Ohio State Buckeyes to town. This team's a little bit different than the one that Thad Matta was coaching last year in Iowa City when the Hawkeyes handled them relatively easily. What is it about the Buckeyes that make for an interesting matchup for Iowa tonight?
Well, I think they obviously must be well coached, because they've really been playing well lately. They come in actually 2-0 in the Big Ten. They haven't had that third game just yet. Their wins are at Wisconsin by 25, and they beat Michigan at home by 9. So this is a team that's playing well. If you look at the KenPom ratings, their adjusted efficiency ratings are top 55 on both offense and defense, and that's really good. I think this is a better team than I thought they would be, but I also think it's a beatable team, especially on the road. I think Iowa could sneak up and get them tonight, but well coached, and this guy, I think this guy knows what he's doing. It was a good hire by Ohio State.
Chad, I want to go back to that game on Tuesday against Michigan at Carver Hawkeye Arena. We saw some a little bit of frustration on the sideline from Fran McCaffrey, and I just wanted to get your thoughts. So what did you see from this team and the coaching staff? Did you get the sense at all that frustration might have been boiling over a little bit in that 75-68 loss to Michigan?
Well, it certainly was with Fran McCaffrey. I mean, no question about that. That was one of the largest tirades I've seen from him since I've been covering the team. This is my fourth year covering the team. And it was kind of stunning, actually. I think the players are kind of used to it by now, and they do like playing for him. But the players, you know, I can sense their frustration too, because they think they should be a lot better than they are, but they're just not playing defense. I do think it's hard to get into a rhythm. I think he's playing too many guys. I think he's got to trim down the rotation at some point. He probably never will. But I think that's got to be frustrating. You know, you play. Like, look at Jack Nungy. He starts, barely plays again after he comes out. He misses 2 threes early on, barely plays again. I mean, that stuff gets frustrating.
Chad, when you look defensively, is there a way that the Hawkeyes can fix what's been ailing them on that side of the court? Because offensively, we know Fran McCaffrey tends to be okay there, but defensively, this team has had some issues this year.
Absolutely, yeah. If there's a fix, I think it would have needed a really good fix. I think it would needed to have started, you know, in October, but here we are in January now, and they just don't really have a signature defense. They can't play man to man. If I'm coaching this team, I just get really good at one defense, a zone defense, pick your zone, and just get really, really good at it. Get really good at communicating, because you can't. When you play so many guys, it's so hard to play consistently good defense and help defense. And you just see these guys helping to the wrong guys, wide open threes. It doesn't take much for an opponent to get a wide open three. They just got to pass the ball a little bit. So that part's been pretty disappointing, I think. And that does fall on the coaches.
Chet, how do you evaluate Nicholas Bear? Because you hear some people that expected him to take a little bit of a step forward offensively and take a bigger role on this team, and then you hear other people saying he's fine. He needs to be that energy guy. He's not going to score a lot. He just needs to make some things happen in spurts. Where do you kind of fall in that argument?
I think he needs to do more. I know he had the broken pinky really set him back in terms of getting his legs under him. He looked great in the Big Four Classic, obviously, but that's what they need out of him. And that this team needs kind of that 6'7" guy that can stretch the floor. I mean, you saw that with Michigan the other day. If you got everybody on the floor that can consistently drain threes, you're going to be really tough to beat. So I think he needs to be that guy. I think Iowa thought he would be that guy. I think he can be that guy. He has to do it.
What happens if Iowa loses this game tonight and drops to 0-4 in Big Ten play?
Well, then they go 3 straight on the road. Now one of those is Illinois, and one of them is Rutgers. But still, you're 0-4 in the Big Ten, and 0-3 at home. And Iowa's home schedule gets a lot tougher after this. I mean, you're starting to think about the possibility that maybe Iowa doesn't even win a home game this year in the Big Ten. Let me read to you the home games after this: Purdue, Minnesota, Michigan State, Indiana, which may be the one, and Northwestern. So those are the 5 home games after this, or 6, and that's not going to be easy. I left that Wisconsin. That was 6. So all tough games. They got to win. It's going to be starting to melt down, I think, if Iowa loses tonight.
Do you think Fran McCaffrey is starting to feel a little heat? He relatively, I mean, this is, what, his 8th season in Iowa City, and for the most part, he has been free of criticism from the fan base. But I think this is maybe the beginning of turning up the heat here a little bit on him?
Well, I've been talking. A lot of people have asked me about this. A lot of friends of mine and a lot of people on Twitter. I mean, it's pretty much unanimous that the sideline antics are kind of wearing thin, and that's what happens when you start losing games. I mean, the fans aren't going to tolerate that and the losses combined. I just did a Nebraska radio show earlier today, and they ran into the same thing with Bo Pelini. You know, eventually, kind of that act gets tiresome among the fan base, even if you're winning a little bit. So I think I do think he's going to start feeling the heat if this team takes a big, big downturn.
The act gets tiresome on the fans. My question is, and I think you touched on this just a little bit earlier, is there any worry that it gets tired on the players?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, you know, we can theorize that anyway. I mean, you don't know for sure. They're not going to come out and say, yeah, I hate playing for my coach. But, you can see it in whatever their energy level is. Let's see if these guys are diving for loose balls tonight. Let's see if they're making that hustle play. They didn't have many offensive rebounds against Michigan. I thought Fran got on them for their effort and energy, and I agreed with him in that sense. I thought, and the players did too. So if they're not showing that consistent hustle and effort, then I think the message isn't getting through, and the season could really unravel in a hurry in that case.
Chad Lystico with us for just a few more minutes from the Des Moines Register, Iowa, getting ready to take on Ohio State at Carver Hawkeye Arena tonight. Let's go ahead and look into the crystal ball here. Iowa has beaten Ohio State tonight. How did they do it?
I think they just need to get a hot shooting game from three. It feels like Isaiah Moss is due for one of those games where he goes 5 for 7. Bohannon, hit 4 threes the other night, but he just hasn't been consistently reigning in the threes like he can. And you guys mentioned Nicholas Baer. I mean, he's a guy that's very capable of having hitting a couple triples and being a force in the boards. I think they got to hit threes. I'll say if they hit 11 three-pointers tonight, and that sounds like a lot, but they might need those with the way they play defense. I'll say if they hit 11 threes, they win tonight.
On that same page, you talked about Jack Nungy earlier starting the game after a couple of early misses. Is he a guy that, because of his ability to shoot, they need to get him more minutes and get him more shots on the outside?
Yeah, I mentioned, they need to play fewer players. I would play him more among those fewer players. Now Fran said he did kind of lose his confidence in all parts of his game after he missed those shots, and that's something a young player is going to deal with. But you also lose confidence by just being benched for the whole half too. So I think that falls on the coaches a little bit there too. So yeah, I would play him a lot. I like everything he brings to the table. I think he should be in that top eight going forward for sure.
Interesting stretch of games coming up for the Hawkeyes with three on the road. That's for sure. Chad, we appreciate the time as always.
Oh yeah, thank you.
Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register and Carver Hawkeye Arena. Well, I don't know whether it's going to be rocking tonight for Iowa and Ohio State, but we'll find out in a couple hours whether this team can get off the schneid and put a W in the win column in Big Ten play, or if it goes to 0-4, and then what type of program are we having tomorrow here with Iowa 0-4. Speaking of tomorrow's show, I should mention this. It is shaping up to be a very good one. We're going to be talking with Iowa women's basketball standout Megan Gustafson, fresh off being named the USBWA's Player of the Week nationally, and Josh Jackson, who earlier this week announced that he's leaving Iowa early for the NFL draft, likely a first-round draft selection in this spring's NFL draft. Josh is going to be with us in the big hour, the 6 o'clock hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. So plenty to come. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com will be here with us as well for a little bit tomorrow. So Friday, KGYM, appointment viewing here on the Todd Bromwell Camp Show along with Alex Kuhn. I know we've got some high school basketball for you tomorrow as well. If you want to check out the full schedule of games and broadcasts over the weekend, including tomorrow, you can check out KGYMradio.com. While you're there, make sure you vote in our poll question. What is the bigger surprise so far this year? Iowa's 0-3 start in Big Ten play or Drake's 3-0 start in Missouri Valley action? Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast here in Cedar Rapids sponsors the poll question every day. Keep listening. Sometime between now and 7 o'clock tonight, we're going to give you a chance to be caller number 6. You'll take home tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders in action this weekend. They're taking on the Youngstown Phantoms Friday and Saturday. Saturday is Star Wars night. And if you were with us yesterday on the program, we introduced you to Air Force men's hockey coach Frank Steratore. Going to have a little bit more of Frank Steratore audio for you. This is a classic nugget from the 2016 calendar year, but it's timeless because it's talking about the Minnesota Vikings' futility in the postseason and the Super Bowl. And that could change this year. Coming up in the third and final hour, the 6 o'clock hour tonight, we'll talk about the hypothetical. What happens if the Vikings make it to the Super Bowl? It's something that no team in NFL history has ever done before, played in their home stadium for the Super Bowl. 519, lots more to get to, including a big board update. It's on the way when we return after this.
Get out of the cold and warm up with some Hot Stove Baseball. The Cedar Rapids Colonels will host the 22nd annual Hot Stove Banquet Wednesday, January 17th at the East Bank Venue and Lounge in downtown Cedar Rapids. Enjoy dinner, a silent auction, and a special visit from the Minnesota Twins Winter Caravan, featuring former Colonels and current Twins Mitch Garver and Zach Granite, along with radio broadcaster Chris Atterbury. Tickets are $45 and all proceeds benefit the Colonels Take the Lead Community Initiative Program and the Colonels Foundation. Get your tickets now at colonels.com.
Have you been to the Fieldhouse lately? Yeah, the Fieldhouse. You know, the one and only Hawkeye Bar in Cedar Rapids. The sports bar where the food never takes second place. The famous happy hour that everybody loves. That's the one, the Fieldhouse. Bring your buddies for lunch this week. Stop in and grab a table or order online at fieldhouse1stav.com. Give your lunch hour a shot of black and gold pride at the Fieldhouse on First Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
AutoZone presents Bumps in the Road. Worn shocks and struts can turn simple bumps into a dangerous problem. And if your car nosedives when you stop, you might need new shocks or struts. And right now, when you buy one Gabriel Ultra Strut, you get the second for half price. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. Discounted product must be of equal or lesser value. Sales tax not included.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Choosing the right mortgage lender involves much more than just a rate. Quicken Loans has earned 11 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. No one else has anything like it. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
Introducing McDonald's new $1-$2-$3 menu with favorites for $1, $2, or $3, like the McChicken, the Bacon McDouble, the Happy Meal, and...
A weekend getaway with the husband and kids?
No. But the $1-$2-$3 menu could help you save for one.
Especially if we leave the kids at home.
With Grandma, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Build whatever meal you want with favorites on McDonald's new $1-$2-$3 menu. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Get organized inside and out at the Store More, Save More event going on right now at the Home Depot. It's easy to declutter with Sterilite 64-quart latching totes. They're a special buy at just $6.48 each. They have a new space-saving shape, and they're clear, so you can see exactly what you've stored. Storage needs come in all shapes and sizes, so do storage solutions at the Store More, Save More event, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through February 4th, available in store and online while supplies last.
522, welcome back. The Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn and our producer Kyle Mann, with you until 7 o'clock tonight, all three KGYM frequencies. Big, big show coming up for you tomorrow. We've already mentioned it. Megan Gustafson and Josh Jackson, among others, with us. So make sure that we're a part of your day between 4 and 7. But if you can't listen tomorrow, always check out KGYMradio.com to download the podcast later. A little bit of baseball news. The Marlins continue to kick the tires on trading Christian Yelich. The Atlanta Braves and the Washington Nationals both said to be jockeying for the services of Christian Yelich as well as JT Realmuto, the catcher that the Marlins have. Now, Derek Jeter has said that he's predicting that the Marlins are going to make a huge profit next year and that people are going to still turn out to watch this team.
Wait a second.
That's like saying Iowa basketball is going to lose to Ohio State tonight to drop to 0-4 in Big Ten, and Carver Hawkeye is going to be sold out the rest of the Big Ten schedule.
Well, even if
I don't quite see, I don't quite see it.
Well, even if they do, what kind of selling point is your team when the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, "Oh, well, we're going to make a big profit next year." Well, not going to have a good product. We're not going to have much else to draw you to the ballpark, but hey, we're going to make a profit.
They have slashed $36 million off of the team's payroll since acquiring the club.
Worry not, Marlins fans. You lost your two franchise players, but they're going to make a profit.
If you're a fan of the Cubs or the Dodgers or any of the other teams that are in good position in the National League over the next couple years, you got to be a little nervous here in the Washington Nationals, already the best offense in baseball, kicking the tires on Christian Yelich, right? I mean, come on.
Well,
give
yes,
everybody else a chance here. And by the way, he goes to Atlanta. Not that the Marlins would trade him within the division, and Atlanta would probably have to give up quite a bit to acquire him, but the Braves are like one or two pieces away from being a contender next year, and that's not something I expected to be saying this offseason. But once they've got over the whole, you know, international scouting scandal that had their former general manager banned from baseball for life, once they moved past that, things are actually looking kind of up for the Braves. While we're talking about baseball, consider this a personal invitation to join us the 17th. It's a Wednesday night. The Colonel's Hot Stove Banquet at the East Bank Venue and Lounge in downtown Cedar Rapids. That's the old Smulikoff's building. Smulikoff's, downtown Cedar Rapids. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And now that earworm is inside your head, good luck getting rid of it. But the Colonel's Hot Stove Banquet, tickets on sale now, colonels.com. Should be a great night for area baseball fans. Got a couple members of the Minnesota Twins 40-man roster who made their major league debuts last year, and Zach Granite and Mitch Garver headlining the caravan stop this year. Chris Atterbury, whom you hear on the Twins Radio Network on 107.5 FM all summer long, is set to MC. Toby Gardenhire, who's going to be managing the Colonels in 2018, will be in town as well. Jeremy Zoll, who is the new farm director for the Twins, 27 years old, highly, highly thought of in baseball circles, also going to be in town on the Twins Winter Caravan as part of the Hot Stove Banquet. So should be a great night of baseball and baseball discussion. They always have some great silent auction items as well there. And KGYM is a proud media sponsor for the Colonel's Hot Stove Banquet. And the best part is all of the proceeds from the Hot Stove Banquet go to benefit the Colonel's Take the Lead initiative and the Colonel's Foundation, which gives back to the community here in Cedar Rapids and all across the corridor. So not only do you get to come together with fellow baseball fans on what will likely be a frigid cold night, at least if temperatures continue to keep up here in the way that they've been in early January. But you can also give back to the community in doing so a little bit. So it should be a fun time. I'm off that day. It'll be Alex and Kyle on the 17th, but I will be at the Hot Stove Banquet that night. So looking forward to hopefully seeing many of you out there. 319-366-1600. Plenty to get to, including an Iowa and Maryland women's basketball update. That game has tipped off in College Park, and here to give you an update is Kyle with your next Midwest One Bank Big Board Update, Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Iowa basketball team is going to be hosting Ohio State tonight, trying to look better than they did against Michigan on Tuesday. The Buckeyes come into the game at 11-4 and 2-0 in the Big Ten, whereas the Hawkeyes sit at 9-7 and already 0-3 in the conference. Vegas has Ohio State as a 1.5-point favorite, although interestingly, ESPN's matchup predictor gives the Hawkeyes a 56% chance to win. Iowa's backcourt remains shorthanded without Connor McCaffrey, and that game's set to tip at 6:01. Megan Gustafson was named the National Player of the Week by the U.S. Basketball Writers Association yesterday. She's currently trying to lead the 18th-ranked Hawkeye women to their second upset over a ranked team in 5 days. They currently trail on the road at number 13, Maryland, at 31-23, but that's improved from the 31-17 score after the first quarter. The Iowa State women had a tough matchup last night on the road against number 6, Baylor. And they're pretty tough. They beat the Cyclones by 40, 89-49 after leading 52-16 at halftime. Bridget Carlton led Iowa State with 15 points, and she's going to try to help them bounce back in another tough draw at number 12 West Virginia on Sunday. Tonight after the show, we're going to have the UNI men on the road at Missouri State in a situation they maybe didn't expect to be in, also still searching for their first conference win. They put together a very impressive non-conference resume, but have dropped their first two MVC games to Southern Illinois and Bradley. Meanwhile, Missouri State enters at 2-0. We're going to pick up coverage at 7:30 on 106.3 FM the South Gym and 107.5 FM the North Gym.
A little NFL news. In case you haven't heard, DeMarco Murray has officially been ruled out this weekend for the Titans. They've got their wild card matchup with the Kansas City Chiefs. Derrick Henry will start in his absence. Whether or not that affects the picks coming up tomorrow on the Carl Linnane's Pick 6, I don't know. I know the Chiefs are, what, about a 9-point favorite as it is. Murray dealing with a torn MCL. Probably was going to be a long shot that he played this weekend anyway, but they've officially made that call.
I don't think it's going to change the prediction of one of our prognosticators.
Scott Unash.
Yes, noted. I think that he's going to be pretty solid on his taking his beloved Kansas City Chiefs, but I guess I could be wrong.
Noted Chiefs fan. On the subject of the NFL, lots of teams looking for new head coaches. One of them is near and dear to the hearts and minds of several people here in Eastern Iowa, the Chicago Bears. They've parted ways with John Fox. Who is going to be the next head coach to take the rostrum at Hallis Hall? We'll talk with Chris Emma of 670 The Score in Chicago. He's going to join us next. Keep listening. Rough Riders tickets on the way sometime before 7 o'clock tonight as well.
This bottom of the hour Sports Center update is brought to you by CarePro Health Services. Connect with the people and answers you need for your health care needs. Visit careprohealthservices.com.
Honey, you're snoring again.
Oh, sorry.
Is your snoring bothering her? It's possible you have sleep apnea. Talk to your doctor about it. If you do have sleep apnea, find just the right CPAP or BiPAP machine at CarePro Home Medical. They'll get you the correct equipment, make sure you have the right mask with a proper fit, and explain how the equipment works. Help your health. Make her happy with a CPAP from CarePro Home Medical. CarePROHealthServices.com.
Radio Sports Center.
I'm Kevin Winter, Rockets and Warriors tonight. It is game number 2 of the season between the top 2 candidates to meet in the Western Conference Finals for the NBA this year. Houston won the opening matchup. That was on night number 1, opening night of the NBA season. Rockets won it when Kevin Durant's three-pointer was ruled that he didn't get it in time. Tonight, they're going to be in Houston, but there will be no Kevin Durant tonight. He is not going to play this game with a right calf strain. Of course, there's no James Harden as well. He's battling a hamstring injury. They'll tip coming up 90 minutes from now. Meanwhile, from the NFL, the games open up this weekend in the playoffs. The Tennessee Titans will be visiting the Kansas City Chiefs, and they'll be doing so without their running back DeMarco Murray, ruled out of Saturday's game with a torn MCL. Coverage of the Chiefs and the Titans begins Saturday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern time exclusively on ESPN Television and ABC Television. Jacksonville Jaguars owner Shad Khan said today knew that he wanted to change up the power structure and that hiring Tom Coughlin to run the team was the perfect choice.
Hey, it's the guys. Join us Friday. It's a big Friday, a football Friday, a huge Friday. Chris Sims will join us and reveal to us his 52nd best quarterback in the NFL. Plus, we open up the club. That's Friday on the Dan Le Batard Show with me, Stu Gatz, on ESPN Radio.
We've done it, America. Introducing Barbasol Razors. The American original for shaving cream now has premium disposable razors. Nothing beats the close, comfortable shave you get with Barbasol. All you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
Barbasol.
Find new Barbasol razors now at Walgreens.
Learning where your DNA comes from with 23andMe.com might just inspire you to explore your connection to the world, like Kate. 45% of Kate's DNA is from the British Isles, so she took a little bike trip through Scotland. And 10% of her DNA is from North Africa, so she paid a call to Morocco. Order a DNA kit with 23andMe.com today and let your 23 pairs of chromosomes show you another way to experience the world. Get over 75 reports on ancestry, health traits, and more at 23andMe.com.
We alarm our houses, and we alarm our cars. But when it comes to your personal information, it can be tough to know when something isn't right. That's where Discover Card can help. Now, we'll send you an alert if we find your Social Security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. And this service is free for card members. Just sign up online. It's our way of looking out for you, not just your account. Learn more at discover.com/freealerts. Limitations apply.
When the game is on the line, you put the ball in the hands of your best player, a veteran, one who's known to perform under pressure. At Valvoline, we believe great performance comes from hands-on expertise. That's why there's Valvoline Max Life. After 75,000 miles, use Valvoline Max Life to treat the hidden signs of aging and help extend the life of your engine. Valvoline, 150 years under the hood. Visit AutoZone now and buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Max Life and a filter for $24.99. See store for restrictions and details.
5:34, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn and our producer, Kyle Mann. We got you till 7 o'clock tonight here on KGYM, all three frequencies, bringing you ESPN national programming, then local programming with the gym class and this show, Monday through Friday, 4 to 7. 106.3 FM, our South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids and all across eastern Iowa. On 1600 AM, the historic main gym. Plenty to get to tonight, including hour number three, Would Ya, on the way, as well as a discussion of the Minnesota Vikings Super Bowl chances. You know, it sounds funny to say that, but they do have the second best odds, and they would be playing at home, which is something no NFL team has ever done in the history of the Super Bowl. Speaking of pro football, I'm very happy we could get Chris Emma from 670 The Score in Chicago with us. And Chris, busy, busy time in Chicago with the Bulls and the Blackhawks playing, but most of the focus is on Halas Hall and just exactly what Ryan Pace is going to do to fill the shoes vacated by John Fox.
Yeah, good to be with you. And it is a, the football season never ends. Now you get into the end of the regular season and it begins an off season, and that's pretty much just as busy. So the Bears are underway with a coaching search, are trying to find the right candidates, and they made a stop up to Minneapolis to find that team with the Super Bowl odds and meeting with Pat Shurmur and George Edwards and then go from there.
Now, Chris, I think back to last offseason when the Los Angeles Rams fired Jeff Fisher. They kept their general manager Les Snead, which is what the Bears have done in keeping Ryan Pace in place. And then they went out and they hired a young offensive-minded coach. And now I'm not necessarily meaning the young part, but what are the odds that the Chicago Bears do the same thing as far as hiring an offensive-minded head coach to work with the young quarterback Mitchell Trubisky?
I think that's more likely than not. I mean, they've looked at Vic Fangio in-house. That's where the interview started, with the Bears defensive coordinator, and given a look at George Edwards, as I mentioned. But the traits that they're trying to find are what fits Trubisky best, and that's looking for that offensive-minded guy, that young, up-and-coming coach that really, it seems easy to say, but the Sean McVay type, somebody who they believe can be the Sean McVay for their Mitchell Trubisky, you know, compared to what happened with Jared Goff, transforming him to one of the league's better young quarterbacks. So they're looking for that kind of guy. Matt Nagy's name to keep an eye on, so it is, of course, Pat Shurmur and John DeFilippo as well. And then the Bears are reportedly set to meet with Josh McDaniels tomorrow. The weather's kind of thrown some troubles into some of these travels, but the Bears are on their way trying to find one of these young offensive minds. And all due respect to Vic Fangio, I think they would prefer to go with that coordinator, that young offensive coach, to fit Trubisky best.
What do Bears fans want in the next head coach?
Oh, God. Ditka?
Well, that's always the answer, yeah.
It might just be Ditka. I don't know what the Bears fans want. I can't get any kind of gauge from Twitter, and I don't know. I think they just want something that brings them back to contention, and I think probably the consensus is it'll be an offensive-minded coach and somebody that works well with Trubisky. It's so hard to say what Bears fans want because it's a fan base that's been, quite frankly, so miserable the last few years. So, they're tough times for Chicago football, and, there's been a little bit of empathy within the organization, and the fans have felt the frustration. So they want something that just brings them back to contending for championships or even just contending for the playoffs.
Chris Emma from 670 The Score in Chicago with us. Did the Bears make the right move in giving Ryan Pace that four-year contract extension?
Probably. I mean, there's not much of ground to stand on for him. That 14-34 record is every bit Ryan Pace's as it is John Fox's, but ultimately came down to the fact that this organization has a ton of faith in the guy. They really believe in what Ryan Pace can do, and they really still believe in that plan. And we haven't really seen any kind of plan come to fruition here through three lost seasons. But really, this is kind of the course they've set out on. They didn't want to blow it up and start up again. And quite frankly, I don't know if you want the guys in charge of the organization looking for another general manager, because I think Pace is the best they can do, and they failed miserably in bringing in Phil Emery a few years ago. So, you trust with Pace, you give Pace a chance, if you will, and then you hope he finds that right head coaching candidate and you get it all patched up.
Now, when John Fox was hired by the Chicago Bears back in 2015, he was coming off of four consecutive playoff appearances with the Denver Broncos. He had made two Super Bowls in a row. In your wildest projections, did you ever think that it could go as wrong as it did while he was in Chicago?
Never. No, it's funny. I've gone back on my column from the day they introduced him, and I was really thinking the Bears got themselves a winner. And he even spoke differently that day than he did throughout his tenure, and things really wore down on him. So with that, you question, how the business and how the losses really took down a 62-year-old, longtime NFL head coaching veteran. So I think it really just kind of took a toll on him. I also think he wasn't properly equipped for the rebuild. And I asked him, in his last week, was he really prepared for the level of challenge that would come and how long it would take in rebuilding this roster? And he dodged the question a little bit, but he did admit this is more challenging than he could have really imagined. So I don't think he really knew what to expect going into this. I don't think he really had an expectation to how depleted this roster was and how much turnover would take place. Now, with that, too, they did have some talent left on the roster, but it was guys that Ryan Pace was ready to get rid of him. Martellus Bennett, Brandon Marshall, eventually Alshon Jeffrey would walk into free agency. And Pace's greatest downfall to this point is not replacing the guys that he got rid of.
You mentioned Vic Fangio interviewing for the head coaching position. Is there a chance that he could stay on staff as the defensive coordinator regardless of who the next head coach is?
Yeah, sure. It's one of those things where, as far as we know, as far as we've heard, the Bears are not going to require any coaches stay on for this next coordinator. I think the Bears, or excuse me, this next head coach, but I think the Bears would love to keep Vic Fangio there because they built this defense and his vision. They've done 3 years of assembling 3-4 personnel and scheming for what suits Fangio best, and they got a top-10 defense right now, in the scoring and yardage category. So their defense has made tremendous progress from 2014 when they just bottomed out and failed miserably. So if they do lose Fangio and you got to look to Green Bay as a possible landing spot for him, then you got to wonder, are they going to have to switch to a 4-3? Will the overhaul of the schemes really take a toll on the progress that this unit has made? Fangio brings continuity to this defense in many ways, and you look at number of players, key players that they've lost throughout the last couple of years, whether it's the injuries or players just not panning out the right way. And this defense has still become a top-10 defense because of Fangio. So they would love to keep him around, and it's certainly something they want to look at as a head coaching option. But then next head coach would love to, I'm sure would love to keep Fangio around as well if he doesn't have somebody else in mind. And you'll look too out in Los Angeles, the Sean McVay comparison. He's done great things because he has Wade Phillips as a defensive coordinator. Wade Phillips, one of the best defensive coordinators probably in NFL history, and he's been a key part of McVay and that team out in L.A.
Now, Chris, the last time we had you on, I asked you if there was a more disliked person in Chicago sports than Dow Loggins, the offensive coordinator, and George McCaskey and Ted Phillips might be right up there. They came out. It came out earlier, either today or the day before. Those two were going to be aiding Ryan Pace in deciding who the next head coach is going to be of the Chicago Bears. How nervous does that have fans?
It's just an odd look for the organization. And I was there in that scrum with Ted Phillips and asking a few of the questions about how he's going to go about this, because it's something that, while it's not a good aesthetic where you got this empowered general manager and then you get the chairman and the president who aren't football guys, admittedly they're not football guys, that are stepping in as, quote, support resources, as Ted Phillips said. It really shouldn't bother too much. I think they just want to oversee things, but at the same time, it speaks to a structure in the organization that's not comforting for a head coach coming in. It's not a good look because you wonder how much power Ryan Pace really does have. How much power do McCaskey and Phillips have in the coach or the football decisions? And it just makes you question how they're going to be stepping potentially over their bounds. So it's a tough situation, and it's something that really puts the Bears in a bad light in these interviews.
If you had to handicap it right now, who do you think the possible leader in the clubhouse could be? Is it one of the names that's out there, or are we going to be completely surprised when the announcement's made?
You know, it's a good question. Ryan Pace has surprised us all along. I mean, if you were to ask me last offseason who the Bears quarterback was going to be week one, I sure as heck wouldn't say it's Mike Glennon, but what do you know? That's what he did. So Ryan Pace is a different thinker. He's an interesting guy. He really trusts his convictions. He might fall in love with a candidate that nobody's really expecting, and that's the guy. The interviews are set, so you can kind of track it. They just finished an interview with George Edwards, the Vikings defensive coordinator. Now, like I said before, I still think they go with an offensive-minded guy. So I keep an eye on John DeFilippo and Matt Nagy. You know, Josh McDaniels is going to be the hot name. He's probably the top name available on the market. Nagy was really high on Trubisky, and he could come in there and blow Ryan Pace away with his plan for getting success out of this young quarterback.
Now, Chris, it was interesting last NFL draft when the Bears selected Mitchell Trubisky. There were reports out that John Fox was not aware that they were going to head that direction, and there were things along the way where you just saw, like we were talking about, George McCaskey, Ted Phillips, and Ryan Pace on different pages than John Fox. Is that kind of mission number one, find a coach who is going to be able to work well with upper management?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's always something you want to have. But in the case of Fox and Pace, they did have a really good relationship, and it was a solid working relationship because they both stayed in their lanes. But obviously, it became a little odd situation back in April when they did go ahead and draft Trubisky, and Fox seemed to be left out of it. I mean, everything that was out there was pretty much true. Fox was not really kept in the realm as to what they were going to be doing. So, you know, it's one of those things where I think Pace would probably love to have that great relationship like he did with Fox as that next head coach. I'm really fascinated to know what goes on in these coaching interviews, what Ryan Pace is asking, and, you know, the kinds of things he seeks in a head coach, because Fox became an ideal fit for the Bears as a veteran and as a longtime NFL guy who could work with the young Ryan Pace, then the youngest general manager in football. Now this is all Pace's show, and he's going to go out there and try to find his guy. So it's going to be really interesting to see how he goes about it and what he values in a coach. And we were trying to find out in that year-end press conference on Monday, he would not say much of anything.
A few more seconds with 670. The Score is Chris Emma here on KGYM. Beyond the coach and the search for the next head coach and the coaching staff, what are some of the offseason needs that the Bears need to address?
Oh, boy. You got to start a receiver. You got to find those targets for Trubisky. In this odd way, I think Trubisky became better by his lack of targets because he learned how to go through his progressions, become a little bit smarter, more precise in the pocket. But you want to get him some playmakers on the outside. And you know, we've talked about LA a couple times, but look at how Jared Goff benefited from adding some weapons out wide. So that's the biggest thing they need. They need to shore up the secondary, make sure everything stays, you know, the way it's been going, because they've had some growth there with Kyle Fuller. Prince Amukamara had a solid season. Those are two free agents, and probably the top priorities to keep those guys around. Eddie Jackson had a strong season in the secondary, but they still need to find their long-term answer next to him. Maybe that is Adrian Amos. So you got to start there. I think they'd love to find another edge rusher. And then you have questions on the offensive line. And I think Josh Siddon's probably done and gone this offseason. Kyle Long's health is not really a sure thing, and it's a lot of questions going on with three different injuries he's attacking. And then maybe you look at a different option at right tackle. If you don't feel great about Bobby Massey, I think they feel okay about him. But you got to look to the offensive line as well and try to protect your asset in Trubisky. So those are the first places to start. But they really need to add some more organizational depth too, because you go beyond some of those playmakers and some of those guys at the top of the depth chart, and it's still pretty weak down below at the bottom part of the roster.
Great stuff as always, Chris. We appreciate the time, and we'll touch base with you down the road.
Always a pleasure. We'll catch you soon.
Chris Emma, 670 The Score in Chicago, as the Bears looking to find a replacement for John Fox, and I think everybody can agree it's most likely going to be, as you mentioned, Alex, a guy who's an offensive-minded coach first. And it's an attractive job. It's probably not the most attractive job opening, but you've got a guy in Mitchell Trubisky who's a possible franchise quarterback, and a defense that isn't devoid of talent. And that's why I think you'd at least consider keeping Vic Fangio on as the defensive coordinator if he doesn't find a job elsewhere. You mentioned Dowell Loggins, who's going to reunite with Adam Gase in Miami. Not only Adam Gase, but also Jay Cutler.
Ted Phillips and George McCaskey, who know nothing about football, aiding in the coaching search. What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah, what are the term that I believe they use, something along the lines of resources. They're going to be a resource for...
How would they be a resource or help in any way for that search? I don't understand that at all.
Look, if you're Ryan Pace, you've got 4 years, and you don't have 4 years. You've got a four-year deal, but you don't have 4 years. You've got a couple, and you've got to start by, well, you started last year with the controversial move to make the one move trade to move up from 3 to 2 to get Mitchell Trubisky. So you're all in on your quarterback. Now you've got to find the coach that can sort of unlock the Rubik's Cube and get the most out of him. And like Chris said, if you don't address the need at receiver, it's not going to matter how good your quarterback is. I mean, they've got Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen, two really interesting running backs to work with. There are pieces at play there, but you need guys to throw the ball to. And we'll see what the Bears do as far as the draft goes this year. But always great catching up with Chris. 319-366-1600. If you're caller number 6 right now to that number, you're going to take home a pair of tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders take on the Youngstown Phantoms at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena this Saturday night. Caller number 6, 319-366-1600. It's Star Wars night at the stable. It's the Riders welcome the Phantoms to town Friday and Saturday. These tickets are for Saturday night only. Caller number 6, 319-366-1600. We'll find out who our winner is and squeeze in a big board update as we bring our number 2 to a close after this.
We alarm our houses and we alarm our cars. But when it comes to your personal information, it can be tough to know when something isn't right. That's where Discover Card can help. Now, we'll send you an alert if we find your social security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. And this service is free for card members. Just sign up online. It's our way of looking out for you, not just your account. Learn more at discover.com/freealerts. Limitations apply.
Have you seen the Johns lately at TCB Pool Hall? No, not the two guys at the bar. I'm talking about the restrooms. No joke, 5 stars. But enough about that. TCB is a pool hall with 10 full-size tables you can rent by the hour, so you can play as long as you want. There are always interesting drink specials. I mean, you've got to have something to sip on between shots, right? play pool, drink cold beer, use the John at TCB Pool Hall on the Pedball next to Mondo Saloon, downtown Iowa City.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
5:53, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, Kyle Mann, our producer, just getting off the phone with our winner of the Rough Riders tickets. Remember, we'll have another pair for you tomorrow, but tonight's have been claimed by John in Cedar Rapids. RiderTownUSA.com, the website, to check out the upcoming schedule and future promotions that the Rough Riders will have in store. Plenty of time to go check out the Riders, and then next thing you know, it's going to be baseball season. The Colonels hosting their Hot Stove Banquet on the 17th of January. Tickets available at colonels.com. Kyle is here with us, very busy, about to get even busier because they're close to tip-off at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Both the Iowa men and women in action tonight. He'll tell you all about it right now on our next Midwest One Bank Big Board Update, Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Iowa basketball team is going to be hosting Ohio State tonight, trying to look better than they did against Michigan on Tuesday. The Buckeyes come into the game at 11-4 and 2-0 in the Big Ten, whereas the Hawkeyes sit at 9-7 and already 0-3 in the conference. Vegas has Ohio State as a 1.5-point favorite, although interestingly, ESPN's matchup predictor gives the Hawkeyes a 56% chance to win. Iowa's backcourt remains shorthanded without Connor McCaffrey, and that game's set to tip in just a few minutes at 6:01. Megan Gustafson was named the National Player of the Week by the U.S. Basketball Writers Association yesterday. She's currently trying to lead the 18th-ranked Hawkeye women to their second upset over a ranked team in 5 days. They currently trail on the road at number 13, Maryland, 49-38 at halftime. Gustafson has 10 points and 6 rebounds, but Maryland is shooting 48% from the floor and is 6 of 12 from 3. The Iowa State women had a tough matchup last night on the road against number 6 Baylor, and the Bears are pretty darn tough. They beat the Cyclones by 40, 89-49 after leading 52-16 at halftime. Bridget Carlton led Iowa State with 15 points, and she'll try to help them bounce back in another tough draw at number 12 West Virginia on Sunday. Tonight after the show, we're going to have the UNI men on the road at Missouri State in a situation they maybe didn't expect to be in. Also still searching for their first conference win. They had a pretty decent non-conference resume, but have dropped their first two MVC games. We're going to pick up coverage at 7:30 on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Plenty more to get to. Woodja is on the way as we get ready to kick off hour number 3 of the program. We'll keep an eye on what's going on with the Hawkeyes and Buckeyes tonight. What's the bigger surprise, Iowa's winless start to Big Ten play or Drake's undefeated start in the MVC? That's our Emil's Hideaway poll question. If you are a Drake basketball fan, maybe you're just joining the program, we had head coach Nico Medved on with us tonight at 4:30. A podcast of that interview will be available shortly at kgymradio.com. Also, while you're there, you can check out the schedule of upcoming events. This is very exciting. LeVar Ball is starting to learn Lithuanian. And
this
Amazon
might be a completely ignorant question from myself, but do they have their own language?
Couldn't tell you.
What language do they speak in Lithuania?
Well, Lithuanian, right? Just like we speak American here. Amazon has already started selling for the princely sum of $99 replica LiAngelo and LaMelo Ball Lithuanian basketball jerseys. And I think I know what Tom Kakert of HawkeyeReport.com is going to be getting his son for Christmas. $99 for the...
For a jersey or a real jersey?
No, it's a replica jersey. Okay. It's not a t-shirt, but it's also not game quality.
I have to give you the official language of Lithuania is, it's Lithuanian.
There you go. LeVar Ball is probably about 7 months away from becoming president of Lithuania. They have advertising. They have advertising on the jerseys, and it's only a matter of time before the big baller brand
just the face
winds up
the face of LeVar Ball,
the triple B
patch right here. Right on the chest.
Remember, this is low-level Lithuanian basketball, and ESPN has been covering this as if it's the arrival of the Beatles in America. 2 hours down, 1 to go. Back with more after this.
I'm Jay Farner.